Billy Falcone, trunk full of talcum here. Shotgun with your ex feels like Malcolm's near. Send a hit through a text. Ain't no shouting here. Hold on. Shotgun with your ex feels like Malcolm's near.
2 hours later.
Oh, shit. Oh, them niggas are going to hell. Oh, my God. Wow. That was culturally inappropriate. Welcome, bienvenue. I am no episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanor.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson blow to the face. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, July 27, 2025. God damn. Yo, this month is about to be over. About to be over, yeah. Next week is, shout out to those of you going to Caravan weekend, I guess. Damn. Le temps passe vite. That's my point. Le temps passe vite. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast was not meant for you. Okay, gang. First, let's start out by saying shout out to you listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And I am going to ask you to take a quick pause and applaud yourselves. Along that same line is I read this. There's a quote, and I don't know why Jackie Chan is in the background. I'm not sure if he said it, but it's a meme, whatever. And or the thought goes, consistency is harder when no one is clapping for you. You must clap for yourself during those times. You should always be your biggest fan. So that's what, if you're my target audience, you struggle at being your own biggest fan. And I'm not preaching to you because you and I have something in common. So make sure you applaud yourselves every once in a while. Okay, and if this is your first time, if you're a first time listener, but even if you may have clicked on this podcast by mistake, welcome. Yay! Yeah, here's hoping something I say in this episode resonates and allows us to make history together. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website, and ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Quick reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. In today's episode, I think I might be lazy. I think that today's title is going to be 286, The Color of Violence, Part 2. And the reason I bring this up is because I want to combine... Actually, it's called The Color of Violence, Part 2 because the title I was going to go with is something along the line of, am I being emotionally intelligent or am I being a bitch? And that's what I'll be talking about in today's feature thought. But before we do that, we're going to take we're going to do some quotes and some randomness. I'm considering renaming this segment, even though I think I say that on most of my episode, how doesn't have that kick, how I want to rename this segment, quotes and randomness. Quotes is more like, quote, ideas. Someone says some shit that I like, and I just want to say it, share it with you, and with minimal thoughts. Randomness is content that I find on the internet that I like, and I share my thoughts on it. But whatever. Here we are. It's the part before we get to the feature thought. I was explaining it to a friend. C'est comme l'apéritif. how do you say appetizers? Appetizer before I give you the full course meal. Some food for thought. So that's all we do is share thoughts on this podcast. Okay, first quote. Not every battle needs to be won. Sometimes survival is the real victory. I appreciate about this thought is I think after a therapy session, I realized that some folks start life and their start life reaching the mountain. Like that their whole journey is getting to the top of the mountain, reaching goals, getting shit done, accomplishing, succeeding, being success stories. And some folks are crawling out of the hole that life put them in. So whether you're crawling out of poverty, trauma, or whatever. And I say all this because this thought narrows it down. Is that, you know, sometimes it's you just need to be grateful that you survived. You survived to make it another day. Am I preaching? That's not my intention. I feel like I'm preaching.
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today.
Okay. Next quote. Jesus, I'm still in quote. All right. Now. Another quote, and Jet Li's in the background. I don't know what that's about, but the thought goes, sometimes I just agree with people so they can stop talking. That right there is my life growing up Christian. It's like, no, it's not that I agree with you. It's like, I just want you to shut the fuck up about this Jesus shit, about how I need to go to church or how I'm going to go to hell because I don't show up to church or won't stop touching myself. I will just nod and pretend to agree with you, because he'll shut the fuck up. All right, next one, last one. Oh my God, another one of these memes. This one is Morgan Freeman in the background. Not sure if he said it, but it goes, sometimes you have to make a decision that breaks your heart, but brings you peace. Amen. Amen. All right, that's it for quotes. Let's start with some randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
Boom. First item on the docket, on the agenda. I'm recording on a Sunday. For those who don't know, I was trying to get into the habit of recording on Saturdays, but I'm usually drained. By the time I get out of bed, I sleep late. I get out of bed late. And on Saturdays, by the time I wake up, usually sometimes in the afternoon. All right. Long story short, I wasn't in the right mind to record because I got high. And like usual, it was recording and getting high, and I chose getting high. Take responsibilities for your action, kids. And all right. So I still tried to prepare for the episode, but I half prepared for the episode. Half prepared for the episode, I found myself, maybe because I was in a high state and watching a movie, and I remember today's episode was half prepared. And it's only minutes before I recorded that I prepared for the episode, and I found myself writing, feeling grateful of the fact I said that I love when I have no idea for an episode and it all comes together in the last minute. It makes me feel like the Black Don Draper. Yeah. Don Draper from Mad Men. Like Don Draper coming up at the last minute with a good pitch for a good commercial. All right, that's it. That's it. I mean, you know what I mean? Shout out to myself. Yay! This is also me trying to be my biggest fan.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay, I am not going to... Well, needless to say, this next clip, I'm not going to play it because there's no sense. It's one of those clips that you need to see it for yourself. But I may have shared it in a previous episode, but whatever. It struck me well. There's a video going around that made me smile, and I hope it does the same for you. And it's labeled in the show notes as Husband's Reaction After Seeing Their Wives. And I'm sharing it with you, one, because it made me smile. Of just it's these men who are like, especially some of them are just like serious, have a serious look on their face, and as soon as they spot their partner, they're like, they smile. And I bring this up because for me, this is a special moment for me because one, I've grown accustomed to men, husband, men in relationships. And when they talk about their partners, it's just bitch, 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 bitch. It's ungratefulness. It's like, it's, man, it's all of them. All of them are not victims, are next in line candidates of singing in that R. Kelly song when a woman's fed up or how they miss him. It's like, I miss you. It's like, man, I fucked up. Or, you know, of realizing it. All of them are guilty of not knowing how good they got it. Either they got it really good and are oblivious to it, or they are in a shitty relationship and they need to bounce. But I'm gotten so used to just men bitching about their girlfriends, and I'm like, why the fuck did you get married, or why are you with this person? And these same men in mediocre relationships, or in relationships they don't want to be in, will be the same kind, well, not all of them, but a lot of them will be the same kind to be like, that's why you're single. Oh, see how you, that's why you get no bitches. I'm like, so, like nothing about the relationship is inspiring. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Men who are in relationships that don't inspire anyone. It's on one end, it's my fuck you to them, this clip that I'm sharing, and two, I am happy to see, I guess I just like seeing relationships that work. That are actually working. I think that's really what I'm. I like that. Anyways, it's a cool clip.
So you're a philosopher?
So what's up, man?
Cooling, man.
Chilling. Yo, you know I had to call. You know why, right?
Why?
Again and again. All right, I'm gonna call this segment clips again and again. Now, these next three items I'm going to share, not about clips, but these next. Randomness, sequence of randomness about to share. I'm going to call them shit that's been on my timeline this week. And so number one is the Clips. Clips, Let God Sort Them Out album. Oh my God, I am convinced TikTok is, it's just a different world that we live in. Like, I bought the album. I mean, yeah, I know I bought the album. I'm waiting for it to show up online. To show up in my mail. I bought the vinyl, and I've been listening to it a lot on YouTube Music. And then I stopped listening to it. Then I'll scroll on TikTok, and I'll see some, and it's as if TikTok is saying, hey, Nickel, you ain't done. You ain't done, because the algorithm will keep presenting me clips of people, clips, get it? Clips of people talking about the clips. Did you hear what I said? Clips talking about the clips. And I'm not complaining, but it's, I just find it interesting. This is kind of funny. I'm disturbed that my algorithm, that's what the world comes down to. I'm disturbed that my barber does not bring up the clips, is not relit fanatical about this new album as I am. I come in, it's like, yo, you caught the new clips. Like I'll say a clip. And she's like, hey, today's episode is brought to you by the word clips. And I'll recite a verse, no idea what I'm talking about. And don't get me, he's an old school head like me, but a Jay-Z fan, and he's into that coke rap. And but he doesn't hate it, but he's not as invested as this album as I am, and it bothers me. I might get a new barber over this shit. But I have fucking social media, TikTok, constantly showing me a clip about, okay, here's something about SA, here's something about some black shit. Now here's another clip about the clips. And I'm not complaining. I am just celebrating this moment in hip hop. This is like, moments in hip-hop that I think one of my first moments in hip-hop I celebrate, or besides discovering Tupac. But I'm saying, like, albums that are released, rap albums that are released, that restores your faith into rap music. That's what I'm saying, all right? And, yes, this is another episode I talk about the fucking clips, all right? Don't be a whitey. Don't be a fucking whitey. Whitey's bitching about, who's gonna fuck? Not only talks about racism, he wanna stop talking about the clips. Man, fuck you, whitey. All right, so great album, man. But at the beginning of the episode, I recited, what's that line goes? How's that line go? Shotgun with your ex feels like Malcolm's near. And I'm embarrassed to say that it took me a while for me before I got it. And then I'm like, how the fuck does Malcolm have to do with this shit? And then I remember the scene, get your hands up in my pocket. I'm like, oh man, fuck y'all nigga. It's a dope verse. Granted, it would suck for it to be my ex. Like my ex, days after I still haven't established closure, haven't moved on. That's cool. Look, I think what I appreciate about this album, or the messaging in this album, is Clips has this group has an amazing talent at communicating these two messages. A, you're not like us. And B, you don't want beef with us. You know, I know where you're delicate. Jesus. When Pusha T says that line, I'm like, I believe him. I think he would know. If I went to war, if I had a beef with this guy, he would have figured out all my pressure points. Like, out of war shit. I don't know, man. This rapper has me convinced that he could be a problem. And I still remember the last time I had that feeling about a rapper after they released an album was that period when Snoop Dogg released Doggy Style. And all these West Coast rappers kept coming out with them. And like, they had me convinced, like, ooh, these guys are a problem. Then Mobb Deep came out with Shook One. And look, man, if you can't tell, I'm raving the album. Still raving the album. All right, let me find some lines that. Oh, another line that took a while before I realized what it meant. I'm embarrassed to say I even had to look it up. And it goes, "White slave master souls in my safe." And shout out to all you geniuses who figured out, oh, fuck, you're so smart. Whatever. Took me a while because the excuse I'm going to use is I'm Canadian. I am not that familiar. I forgot that on the American currencies, it's mainly slave masters that are on there. But slave master souls in my safe, that's kind of dope. What's the other line? Willie Falcon, Trunk Full. I already said that one. Another favorite one. I had to look up that one. I know what it means, but I had to look the wording. And when he says, I think this one's in FICO. He goes, when you pay a nigga back like it's layaway. It's kind of funny. I mean, it's scary, but it's funny. He goes, when you pay a nigga back like it's layaway, whispering die slow. The last word you hear in the trunk. I'm like, dude, I'm a little late. You don't put me in the trunk and wish me a slow death? Fuck, these guys are cold. Cold. That right there. That, kids, you listen to this shit. You should be telling yourself, and that's why I don't want to be in the drug game. Fuck that. I don't want those kind of problems. I don't want those kind of conflicts. It's like, hey, sir. Hey, Mr. Plug. I know I said I was going to pay you back, but business been slow, and I figured that, like, I'm out of my line of credit, and once I can free up, like, once my paycheck comes in, I'll be able to, next thing you know, I'm in the trunk. And before he closes, he's like, die slow, click! Oh, man. do I have any other line? No. Anyways, again, love the album, and if you haven't heard it yet, you should get your you something's wrong with you. I mean, if you're a rap fan. Oh, last point. I really appreciate all the points that people have been making about how this is also celebration of grown-ups making rap music. and how they've been comparing it to like the younger generation. I mean, this is young people saying this. This is not a bunch of old people saying, "Yo, fuck this." Like black Republicans say, "Yeah, this is some good hip hop. This is some wholesome hip hop." No, no, this is like I appreciate the thoughts from the younger people saying, "Y'all, okay, that's how it's done." And then saying, "Yeah, man, these the rappers we listen to don't ain't got shit to say." Granted, it's coke rap. There's only there's a limited amount of people I'm willing to hear some coke rap from. All right. I've said too much about the clips.
So you're a philosopher?
I can talk my ass off, man. I just realized that I, feature thought is where I do most of my talking, just by my judge. All right, next line. All right, so second item that's been scrolling on my timeline very frequently is the verdict that came in for those five hockey players that, did I really not put the link? Oh yeah, five hockey players found not guilty in Canada assault case. And I'll be honest with you, I don't really have anything intelligent to say about the case, about how that played out, except that one, is I agree with everyone saying that our court system is not designed or is not up to date with how to get us for survivors, meaning it's easy to read the headlines and be like, "Yo, this judge doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about," but I get a sense that there's based on the criterias I've been imposed with, I am not allowed to say these fuckers did what they did, what they've been accused of. And, I mean, it's infuriating. So like I said, I can't speak intelligently about this case, but I am going to give a shout out to a content creator. Her name is, she's actually French. Son nom c'est en anglais. It's Poetry Panacé. Panacé ou Panacé? C'est accent aigu, so moi je pense c'est Panacé. And I had to look up the word Panacé, and it means Poetry Panacé. Or Panacé, I don't know how in English. But I think it's her way of saying my poetry heals. That's her name. Anyways, name of this content creator. And she's got an 8-minute TikTok clip, 8 minutes some change. Links are in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. If you understand French, and I labeled it under "Beaucoup trop d'hommes sont en train de célébrer le verdict," and it's something that she said at the beginning. She says too many men are out there celebrating the verdict. That I will speak about. To the motherfuckers out there, to the men out there who are basically celebrating this shit like black people celebrated OJ. Now, that's actually a bad analogy, bad comparison, but I am going to say that to the men out there, like I'm agreeing with this content creator, it's like to the men out there acting like this shit is a victory for them as well. These five dudes who got let go or acquitted, and they're acting like, hey, their victory is our victory. I'm agreeing with the notion that, yes, you are part of the problem. You're part of the whole, you're encouraging or you're manifesting or you're contributing to rape culture. And what I mean by that is the truth is this. You in both sides, if we're gonna listen to it, right? Well, one, just because they've been acquitted doesn't mean they're innocent. Two, you really don't know what happens, but you're making a shitload of assumptions. You've made a whole bunch of assumptions where you assume that these guys didn't do anything wrong, and this lady is whatever the fuck. And I was listening to her 8-minute clip, and I'm like, how the fuck would I translate this to a dumbass motherfucker? And the reality is, I can't. Like, you got to be able to feel some empathy. You got to be able to, like, maybe I can talk to, maybe there might be hope if I could talk to a dude who's got a daughter. Because the story that, look, no one won. That's my point. No one won. The case wasn't whether shit happened. No, the case was, at the crust of it, is whether it happened and this woman consented to it. I don't know the details, but I do know, I'm aware of, there's apparently they got this woman to say on camera, hey, this shit is consensual. And I've heard that joke about how, yo, so nowadays, you gotta record these chicks. You gotta record these females before having sex. And, I'm trying to find a way to say, you gotta really put some thought into it. If you gotta record a woman to say, hey, is this consensual or not? Isn't that like, wouldn't that be a fucking boner killer? Wouldn't that be like, shouldn't you know? Shouldn't it be if it's consensual between the two? I don't know. I guess all I'm saying is I'm agreeing with everyone saying that, yo, I have no proof she did not record that shit under duress. Like, a recording is not fucking enough. One thing I'm comparing this on, I'm the Diddy case and this case, the one thing they have in common is how, the something they have in common is also, it's a, not realization, but one takeaway we should get for it is these court systems are built. So, like, a lot of these, the intention, the design is that, so people who are falsely accused of rape aren't, like, sent to jail by mistake. There's a lot of, like, not feature, but there's a lot of, like, they designed this system so that, and they really want to be careful not to send the wrong people into jail, which I understand. I agree with. But the problem is it's also allowing the wrong people to not be in jail or face consequence or be held accountable for what the fuck they did. That's well, because so I guess I'm trying to say is, like, fuck, grow up, fellas, grow the fuck up. I don't know. I honestly, I think I've lost hope on communicating common sense or empathy to other males. My therapist wants me to make friends with, have healthy male relationships, and I mean, the first time she said that, I'm like, oh shit, you're serious. Those words don't go together with me, but anyway, for me, but. Oh, one thing I'm also, yo, this is actually not good for my spirit. While this shit was coming on in my timeline, I took it upon myself to watch a documentary about Epstein, because turns out I didn't know much about that guy. Up until this point, I thought he was just a pimp. And every once in a while he had an underage girl that he forgot to check ID for. And the only thing that made me focus, pay attention, it might have been a clip by Tony Nash. By the way, not Tony Nagy, Tony Nash. My bad on Spanish français, si, N-I-G, whatever, Tony Nash. And she made reference to, she used the word survivors in reference to Epstein. I'm like, whoa, survivors. And before, for those of you shitting on me for not knowing the full extent of how terrible of a human being Epstein was, look, how the fuck, he's such a monster, how come he's got a homie in the White House? I mean, like, I'm learning about it, and I'm like, just those pictures of him and Trump together should have been enough for voters to be like, yeah, I may not like that black chick, but I hate a rapist worse. But whatever. All I'm saying is, I don't think I'm alone. I think there's a lot of people out there who are on this, show us the Epstein list, just to see Trump go, but don't know the full, like, there's not, a lot of the show us the Epstein list folks don't give a fuck about the survivors or the fact that there are women with untold stories, or who were a victim of this monster, and haven't gotten justice over it.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, last one goes. Wait, was that three things? Oh, wait a minute, that's not three things. I said clips. Epstein. Oh, the five hockey players. Oh, Epstein was not on my timeline. It's just a documentary I chose to. No, that's not true. I have been seeing a lot of clips about Epstein in my timeline. All right, this last piece of randomness that I want to share with you. I labeled it under "That's What Men Do." And I got this title, "That's What Men Do" is one of the songs on Stickman's album. Stickman is one of the guys from Dead Prez. And he's got an album called, I forget what it's called. But anyway, he's got a song called "That's What Men Do." And I'm going to play a TikTok clip of a woman sharing a story where she had to deal with a creepy man. And I just like the way the story ends. Her story ends.
Last night I heard the best response come out of a man's mouth that I've ever heard when discussing another man's creepy behavior. So reference, I go play volleyball out at a lake near me. It's a weekly thing. Dozens of people show up. It's become like a little community. It's nice, right? But there's this one guy, we're going to call him M. He exhibits creepy weirdo behavior, right? He's constantly asking all of the women out there for their numbers, for their socials, asking them on dates. And is persistent, right? He doesn't listen to us when we say no. This man has asked me out like 6 or 7 times in the past 3 weeks, and I've always said no. Last week I looked at him and said, please leave me alone. And then he asked me out again this week, right? So just weirdo behavior. Last night we're all playing. We decide we're going to go get tacos after volleyball. M invites himself along, so the women go up to some of the men in the group and say, hey, can you make sure that M sits between two guys? We don't want to deal with him like trying to like slip a hand on someone's thigh or like chirping in some woman's ear. And they take it seriously. They're like, yeah, for sure, like we'll make sure that happens. And one guy in the group, we're gonna call him Q, he pipes up. He's like, wait, what's going on? So I explain to Q how M has been behaving towards the women, and Q just goes, I believe you. I didn't need male validation in that moment, but it hit. Because no proof needed, he just listened to me and said, yeah, I believe you. First off, bar has been raised. And then he follows it up with, we're going to make sure he sits next to me and another guy, and then we'll have a conversation with him about his behavior. And I say, well, I'm not trying to make a big deal out of things. And he's like, no, you're not making a big deal out of things. His behavior is a big deal. This is the energy I need for men. This is the accountability we're asking for, right? Because men like M are not going to listen to women. They're not listening to women. He's not hearing one single thing that we're saying to him. But men like M might listen to a man like Q, right? Who's taking initiative and being like, no, we're going to talk to him about his behavior and make sure that this doesn't happen and continue to happen. If it does, like, he's not allowed back. Standards have been raised. This is now the only acceptable response when you hear of a man exhibiting creepy behavior.
Amen, sister. Now, the reason why this is important for me is I like when the human family standing up for each other. Similar story. Well, this is opposite. I remember I was this was in my less enlightened days. I was Christian in that Christian shit, a Christian believer, and I was also not very enlightened about homosexuality. I mean, sexuality as a whole. Especially homosexuality. So I don't know. I think one of my colleagues overheard me. Oh, I remember. I was on the bus with my Muslim homeboy and another colleague, and he kept referring to his. Now that I think the story that I'm sharing it makes me like it makes me cringe and laugh at the same time. Right. So. The colleague kept referring to his girlfriend, wife, whatever the fuck, as his partner. Kept saying partner. And my Muslim homeboy, and he's like, what's with this partnership? I'm paraphrasing, but what's with this partner? Fuck, and my dumbass jumping, yeah, what's that about? And stuff like that. And he goes, now that I think about it, he responded as if he offended. It was either his look on his face was either, oh, looks like I offended these gentlemen, or it was like, oh, you one of them guys. So he kept, and then so he just my girlfriend, and I remember like, yeah, what was up? What was that all about? You're confused. I was trying to figure out, you know, you with the dudes, what the fuck, you know, shit like that. We were not enlightened. Fast forward, my boss comes up to me. My manager, a really cool dude, then he comes up and he speaks to my language. He wasn't like condescending, but he said, he's speaking to me in French. He says, hey, I heard you don't like derogatory term for gay people. And I remember being confused because I'm like, this is work. What, is this an HR call? But whatever. I say, hey, I heard you don't like those people. And I'm like, no, wait, what? Oh, no, whatever the fuck. And long story short, he was trying to speak to me about, he was trying to enlighten me about, yo, them homophobic thoughts ain't going to work here. But the way he approached me, it wasn't in confrontational, but it was, he was trying to speak my language. He wasn't trying to lecture me, but he was trying to speak my language. But I remember, one, I'd say, like, I appreciate you not, like, you know, beating the fuck out of me for, hey, watch your mouth, man. Some of my best friends are gay. No, but he, this is what I'm getting at. Speaking on behalf of someone else. There's a lot of, God bless white people. White people get, holy shit. This is one of the few episodes you're going to get me standing up for white people. Okay. White people get a lot of flack for taking offense to racism. Shit, like, I've seen that. Taking offense to racism and speaking out of it. And then some other white person will jump in and, oh, fucking social justice warrior or fucking whatever, being on that woke shit. Basically, it's a new word for nigger lover. You know, they've sanitized it to, oh, see, we got another one of them jungle bunnies, nigger lovers, whatever. And I, what kills me sometimes, it works. But what I'm saying is I actually respect a white person who's just trying to figure this shit out. They might not get it right at the beginning. Sometimes they're on one extreme, but I understand the intent of wanting to, black person. Now I'll take care of this. Who the fuck you calling? You know, I'm like, they don't say the N word. Yo, stop using the N word. Pop, 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 pop. You know, I don't know. There's like this, people who take offense of fucking getting offended on behalf of another group. I think I understand that sentiment, man. I'm just going to end it with here. Racism will not be solved without white people jumping in. That's their fight. Black people can only do so much. Black people, people of color, indigenous, we can only do so much fighting like the we're an uphill battle for us. Misogyny, patriarchy won't be solved by women. It'll be solved by men. It's our problem. We're the one who's got to speak to other women and say, hey, that's fucked up what you did. Same applies for our siblings in the LGBTQ community. There's a lot of dangerous people out there, and we're the ones, us hetero, cis-hetero, what's the title? Non-binary? Binary. No, we're binaries. Yeah, we're binaries. Binaries that need to step up our game and, like, educate those of us who are not educated. So I really, I love what this dude did. He goes, hey, what's going on? Okay, oh, no. Two guys will sit beside him. We'll talk to him. Because, yeah, he won't be receptive if a woman explains to him, unless a woman, like, punches him in his mouth or kicks him in the nuts. With that said, this concludes our quotes and randomness. Let's jump to feature thought. Speaker box. Okay. I won't lie. I have this word, things are confusing. And we're doing it live. This is the right process. I have two thoughts for final thoughts. And I'm realizing I can't link them together like I did before. So I think I'm just going to say both separately. And if there's a link, and then conclude with a link. Right? But I promise. I swear, I promise.
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today.
I am not here to preach to you today. said the son of a pastor. Son of a gun. All right. First item. Okay. So today's title is the color violence. And it's like, it's in the understanding or the way to, the way you should read it is as if I'm saying the color of violence. On the last episode, I just talked about how I was talking about anger. Now I remember I was talking about anger. So this is, it's a continuation of what I was talking about. But I was talking about anger and how I was comparing it to the author, Chanel Miller, who wrote the book, Know My Name. And in her book, she was able to convey her anger, sa colère, without using cuss words. Oh, maybe she might. But it wasn't like, or not the same way my favorite rapper would talk about rage. And yeah, I was trying to say how it was in response to some racist shit happening to me at work. Someone did a really bad joke, made a bad joke involving using, a bad joke about me getting lynched by a mob. Didn't go down too well. It fucked up my, but I remember it set me in a rage and thinking how the only thing that rage was making me think about was I wasn't trying to heal. I was only thinking about violence. And I, okay, now that I have this context, it makes sense. So two thoughts. One is I'm going to talk to you about, the book that I'm reading by Sammy Davis Jr. And it's titled, Yes, I Can. Just, not the whole book, but a part that I reach in the book. And then after, I'm going to share a thought about, the comparison between, am I being emotionally intelligent or am I being a bitch? Okay. First, let's start with, Sammy Davis, the book, Yes, I Can. As soon as I rearrange this shit. All right. So the reason I'm reading the book is because, or what inspired me to read the book is a content creator on TikTok. Her name is Ashley the Baroness. And she had a little segment about Sammy Davis Jr. and how her take had me think about how the complexity of being black living in a white man's world. And how when you look at Sammy Davis Jr. and that dude was like living in, like he was born in Harlem, but yeah, the racism he went through is like the oh in your face. It's like the fuck are you looking at that white woman for? It's like, trying to imagine. It's think of the same way we appease, the same way our government or some people will appease Israel and turn a blind eye on their genocide. It's like, hey, we careful. If you talk about the genocide on the Gaza Strip, you're anti-Semite. Think the same way we are like, I'm looking for a word. Is it catering? Is it curtailing, navigating through that because we don't want to get in trouble, is the same way he lived in a time where you had to do the same thing about racism because the South are still on that, hey, whoa. Maybe you are cool with Negroes living in your neighborhood, but we're not. Maybe you're cool with your daughter dating these Negroes, but we're not. Like, there's a story about, I haven't gotten to that part of the book, but I remember hearing a story of how the Rat Pack, which Sammy Davis Jr. was part of, him, Frank Sinatra, and a bunch of other white people, white dudes whose names I forget. And they were selling, look, I just finished watching Ocean 11, the original. I actually enjoyed it. But yeah, the Rat Pack was in there. And I remember hearing a story about how they help John F. Kennedy get elected. Like, they use their talent to help him get elected. Yeah, kind of like Jay-Z did with Obama. And, well, I see Jay-Z and Beyonce. Anyway, that's not my point. And when it was time for Inauguration Day, fucking JFK's people were like, hey, tell Sammy he can't come in because we don't want to piss off our Southern delegates. So what I'm trying to say is he navigated that kind of racism. That fucked up. And I think I'm giving you this long-ass story and this long setup to say that Sammy Davis Jr. had his fair share of dealing with racism, but there was also how he navigated through him. Sure, he was angry, but there was times where he had to, like, smile at it, fake laugh at it, make white people feel comfortable around him. It's like, whoa, nigger. I just called you nigger. You're not upset, are you? No, I know you're just being a mistake. You know, it's like that kind of bullshit navigation. But there's a part of the story where he was like, this is kind of a little funny that I shared this. And I was about to say, it's not that he was into white women, but he remembers having this huge crush on, I forget her name, on this one white woman. And he would see her and he was like infatuated by her and he would avoid contacting to her. Basically, he would come off as being rude or whatever, but the speaking to her because he was scared of how the people who weren't into interracial dating, interracial relationship, how they would, the backlash he would get from these people. And this is like what Sammy's just like getting in, like he's becoming a celebrity. It's amazing how, look, side note, yo, this book, you read this book and I swear, man, you see the worst of white people and you see the best of humanity. I was going to say the best of white people, but no, when the best of white people is the best of humanity. I embrace as one big happy family. And yeah, so, there was times where he's floating on cloud nine. He's having a good show and white people are like, oh, hey, Sammy. You know, it's like, hey, great show. Call them sir, give them respect. And his success in showbiz made racism a bit more manageable, but no, it was racism made him feel like, hey, all right, not that I'm one of the good ones, but it softened the blow on racism, but that's not accurate. It was still hard. Focus on what I'm trying to say. I remember he had a moment that I so connected to when he realized that, yo, look at me trying to appease these races. Sammy had same realization I had. I remember this obsession I used to have in doing what I need to do so white people won't call me nigger. And then I had a realization that, yo, ain't shit you can do to stop them from calling you nigger. White people gonna call you nigger regardless. Some of the things I would do, you know, leave a tip. Because I don't want this white waitress who just gave me some shitty service to say niggers don't tip. So in the case of Sammy Davis Jr., what's the line he said? How he's been living his life trying to not offend people who his very existence offended him. How the fuck do you deal with that? Look, it's the realization that, yo, when I left the army, Sammy Davis Jr. said that when he left the army, he made a promise that he would live life by his own terms. And he was realizing that he was letting these racists dictate how he should live his life. I thought that was really powerful. And and if you're a black person who hasn't had that realization, then you are very likely a coon. Trying to control perception of white people. Which now brings me to a second item. The second part I was talking about is, am I emotionally intelligent or am I a bitch? This week after that racial incident at work, I was really going some back and forth. I was struggling. I was really angry. at the situation, but at the same time, I knew two things. One is I acknowledged that the possibility, the person who made that joke, I don't know, a lot of black people will be, some folks gonna be pissed off at this realization, it's this moment, but accepting that, this is what it is, accepting that the joke, quote-unquote joke they made, the possibility they may not have known what it meant. At the very least, I need to accept the fact that when I explain this, or when I document this shit, I'm going to be confronted by white people who will be like,
how the fuck, I use that word all the time. I use those two words, the mob lynching. How the fuck am I supposed to know it has a racial connotation to it? Because you're supposed to fucking read about it. But whatever.
So I prepared myself for, I'm going to get a bunch of pushback from people saying, yeah, it was an honest mistake. Some shit like that. And the only way I was able to get myself to that point was, this is, by the way, a confession at the same time. In the last episode, 285, The Color of Violence, in the segment on Laverne Cox, on Laverne Cox is while describing the story, there's a portion that you didn't notice because I edited it out where I accidentally used the wrong pronoun in relation to Laverne Cox. It was an honest mistake. It wasn't me trying to misgender. It was really me thinking about her ex-boyfriend, and my brain was talking about her, but I ended up using it to describe her. Now, I remember panicking after that mode, and it was so bad that I edited it out. And it's only after I published it that I'm like, you know, maybe I should have kept it in. But I remember the panic that I had, because for me it was important, because I want the world to know that I'm a good person. But at the same time, in that same Laverne Cox story, if you read in the comment section, there's a bunch of shitty people misgendering her. Like adding to, oh, well, how dare you have sex with a Trump supporter? And then I'm going to make it worse and misgender her. And I guess I, in that same story, because I remember part of me sharing this story is also, anyways, I really didn't want to be in that boat, so I took out that. But I remember thinking about how, oh, shit. I know how it feels, like you accidentally made this part. Now, just to be clear, the huge difference between me and the other person that who made the racial joke is, it's not his first time doing something shitty. Being shitty towards someone else. Actually, nah, he's done some other shit, but it was never racial. This is the first time that's been ever. But I wouldn't be surprised. The reason why I'm surprised, because I wouldn't be surprised if this is part of his pattern of just being a shitty individual, and it's like, what else can I get away with? So that's why there was a stop to it. So the huge difference is I'm like stopping myself and I'm stopping myself and I'm all the fucking thinking that I'm doing, I'm having reflection on, am I being emotionally intelligent or am I being a bitch? This guy is like very likely going to treat this situation like, oh, well, I guess I can't say anything anymore these days. You blacks are too sensitive. Like, I'm expecting all that garbage from him. So on one end, the distinction that I'm making is, on one end, I'm saying I understand what it's like to unintentionally say the wrong things. I used to work with, perfect example, I used to work with one of my colleagues. She was disabled. She went to work. She was an artist, but she was disabled. She was in a scooter, wheelchair, whatever, man. And I remember we were group planning a night out for the team. I don't know if it was a Christmas party, but for the coworkers, we were planning a night out, and we picked a location. And but we didn't pay attention to the fact that it wasn't wheelchair accessible. And her response was, okay, fine, I won't fucking go, or whatever. It was just like she had gotten tired of constantly reminding people, hey, hello, remember me? But I remember when she was like, fuck, fine, I won't go. And my colleague was like, oh, no, sorry. You know, big apology and whatever. But never had the moment to like, oh, that's how inconsiderate of us. Just acknowledging that, yeah, that was very inconsiderate on our part. Let's fix the situation. But acknowledge that, yeah, what we did was fucked up. It wasn't intended to reject you. But so, I get it. And by the way, I guess that's the crust of diversity inclusion. It's like thinking of other people. Anyways, I guess I'm trying to say that not much I could say, but I'm remembering that I'm talking about emotional intelligence. Well, one last point is let me get to it. Let me just play this clip of what triggered this question about, am I being emotionally intelligent or am I being a bitch? Because I've been struggling with answering those questions, but this person helped me make sense of it.
Emotionally intelligent people don't fully hate anyone because they see the why in every person's behavior. Some people think that this is a curse, but let me tell you why they're wrong. If you're emotionally intelligent, your prefrontal cortex doesn't shut off when someone hurts you. It sees the father who has anger issues because he was beaten as a child, the partner that wasn't faithful because of their abandonment issues. The nature of human behavior suggests that high EQ brains light up in their empathy centers, even when confronting enemies. The reason that this isn't weakness is because if you're not emotionally affected by someone's behavior to the point where it turns you angry, frustrated, and bitter, it actually makes it less likely for you to mirror that behavior on someone else. So in the previous example, the child that sees the angry father would adopt that same behavior and continue the cycle. Also, just because you understand the behavior doesn't mean that you accept the behavior. A high EQ person could see someone like a violent criminal and understand their violent, neglectful, abusive upbringing and still recognize that they need to be punished and rehabilitation. That's not weakness, that's neurobiological depth. The key here is not to mistake this for a trauma bond where you connect with your abuser and sympathize with them. Someone with high EQ will have no problem removing themselves from a toxic situation without remorse, but still wishing that person well. Hardwired teaches you how to see and feel deeply without losing yourself. The link is in my bio. God bless.
Nice. I don't know what link he's talking about, but the links to this clip is in the show notes. In my last episode, I was struggling with whether I was being emotionally intelligent or whether I was being a bitch. And I remember how, again, Carly made the bad joke and my afternoon was all fucked up. And I described in the last episode how I went to the grocery store and I was like heated. I was like pissed off. And I explained how I gave some change to this panhandler who was in front of this white panhandler, and after I gave him the change, I remember being pissed off at myself. It's like, B, you just spent your time saying fuck white folks, fuck whitey, and all this shit, and here you go giving this motherfucking money, and or some motherfucker cut in line. Excuse me, I'm laughing. I'm thinking of that scene with Old Dog. These fools smoke your goddamn cousin. I don't give a fuck if there are kids. I'm shooting everybody. Yeah. So I had Old Dog in my shoulders, like angry at me because why aren't you being unproductive? Why the fuck are you thinking about this white boy's feel? Why are you worried about how he's going to handle all this? Like, why are you worried about him getting fired? Because I'm actually considering escalating this to HR. I don't know. I haven't, but I know I'm going to document this shit. I'm just having considering my next move. But I do remember putting a lot of thought into how I was going to respond to the situation. I did confront him. I did tell management about it, but I haven't figured out my next move. But I do know that I remember reaching the conclusion that I don't want this motherfucker to get fired, but this motherfucker does need to get help because, like I said, there's a pattern of bad behavior on his part. Anyways, I gave you back to that panhandler, one little story I wanted to say, that white panhandler I was talking about. In the last episode, I talked about him, like, I was explaining how this panhandler white dude, I keep seeing him all the time. And and there's something about his vibe I couldn't explain, but that makes me want to, like, they've always made me want to, like, A, acknowledge his existence, and B, like, treat him like a human being, and B, help him out if I can. And that day when I walked in, and he saw me, and we made eye contact, and I said that, he said, excuse me, sir, can I borrow some, do you have some spare change, something like that. And I was, and I realized it was the way he said excuse. There was something about that vibe. It reminded me of one, some story of Sammy Davis Jr. explaining how when his show was getting good, like, he's used on getting the worst response from white people. Oh, he, there's a place, Coca-Cabana, one of these places, how he couldn't go because it was segregated. And after they found out, after he became a big star, that same doorman who wouldn't let him in was like, excuse me, sir. Like, all over, like, caught the vapors. And I remember the way that the panhandler, like, asked me for change. It's like, hey, you a star now. And, you know, look, he's just, sometimes, you know, I give change to the panhandler just to hear that their gratefulness. Just to, like, I mean, not that I expected, but I have always liked how you can sense, like, they appreciate the gestures. If you want to feel better about yourself, yeah. Just give a panhandler some spare change. And don't give a fuck if you go use it for water. And don't care what they're going to use it for. It's their business. If I was a panhandler, I would work a lot on my ass-kissing techniques. It's like, hey, man, oh, man, I know you got it going, so you can spare some change. Oh, my God, is that your girl, man? Oh, man, she a lucky, she a lucky woman. You got some, spare change? Like, act like the doorman who, like, wants your business. Anyways, so I'm not going to conclude, you know, I don't bring solutions on this episode. I'm not going to give an answer to whether I was being emotionally intelligent or whether I was being a bitch. But I do know a lot of the rage that I've been feeling this way is because I was like, I was trying to answer that question. I was struggling. There was a part of me that was disappointed that I didn't. My response was it more extreme, and there was another point that was like, well, what's the word? Calculating. Like, fuck all that planning shit. Who's actually planning, thinking these things through? I was regulating emotions because I knew if I spoke the way I wanted to speak, either I'm going in prison, or I'm going to say some shit that I may want to take back, that I won't be able to take back. On that note, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast 286, The Color Violence. Maybe I should put the color of in brackets, The Color of Violence. But The Color Violence. I know some people are looking at that title and confused as fuck, but that's what I mean. It's just me trying to say that when I feel rage, I only know one color, and it's violence. And I'm not a violent person. Go figure. Anyways, this concludes today's episode. I looking at my other links here. Whatever, man. Check out the other links section of my show notes, because they're links that I just think that are interesting, and some of them might make you laugh. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast401@gmail.com. Reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. I mean, motherfuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. Thank you for listening. Oh, it was a motherfucking crew. If you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Did I forget to say that? Yeah, fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast.
I am your king now!